السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی الم نشرح لک صدرک ووضعنا عنک وزرک الذی انقض ظهرک ورفعنا لک ذکرک فإن مع العسر یسرا ان مع العسر یسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلی ربک فارغب قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد حتى إذا أتوا على واد النمل قالت النملة يا أيها النمل ادخلوا مساكنكم لا يحطمنكم سليمان وجنوده وهم لا يشعرون صدق الله العظيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, for the last few weeks, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have spoken about one statement of the Nabi of Allah that I believe encapsulates all the departments of akhlaq. The statement is very short yet comprehensive. Ad-deenun nasiha. That the Nabi of Allah says that the deen that I have brought, that has been chosen by Allah Almighty, is a deen that wants and demands every believer to want the best for the other. Now this is the maqsad, this is one of the maqasid, one of the objectives of the religion. That a believer in the true sense is that person that wants the best for the other. May it be in relation to deen, or may it be in relation to dunya. That's why we find that the anbiya, they worked tirelessly, continuously, day and night, inviting people to the right path. Because deen demands that. The Nabi of Allah, through the light of divine revelation, can see that if this person keeps living the life that he is living, he will fall into the pit of destruction. So the Nabi wants the best for the people. His feeling is so profound, so deep rooted, that he even forsakes and forgives or gives up his own comfort. I have made mention many a times before that Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after receiving revelation, came back home. And he said to his dear wife, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that I would like you to pick up my bedding and put it to the side. From today onwards, I cannot place myself in that comfort that I experienced before being commissioned as a prophet. Because ad-deenun nasiha, deen does not allow this. If we find a person spiritually destitute, the deen demands that we go out and salvage that person from the spiritual destitution that he is experiencing. And if we find a person materially destitute, deen demands that we go out and we help that person. That's why they say that try to help people in whichever way you can. Some people have knowledge, they will impart that knowledge. Some people have a beautiful smile, a radiant smile, pass that radiant smile. The least that we can do is that if a person comes, at least place your hand over his shoulder and give him a few words of comfort. That's why the scholars, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he makes mention, in the light of Quran and Hadith, and in the light of this comprehensive yet concise narrative, that agar aap kisi ko fayda nahi de sakte to kisi ko nuksan na de, kisi ko khushi nahi de sakte to kisi ko ghami na do, kisi ki tareef nahi kar sakte to kisi ki badtareef bhi na karo. That if you cannot benefit a person, do not harm him. At least do not harm him. Remain neutral. Do not harm him if you cannot benefit him. If you cannot give him happiness, do not give him grief. If you have nothing to give, you cannot even utter a word, that can bring a smile on the face of that person. Do not give him grief. Do not be the means of grief. And if you cannot praise him, do not defame him. If you don't have a good word for a person in private or in public, do not mention his name. Do not speak about him. Do not defame him. We will speak about this in the weeks to come, inshallah. That Allah Almighty said that people are worse than animals. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ. Many a times we take this ayat in a manner that is not inclusive to all the dimensions that this ayat captures. We only take this in the spiritual world. We try to understand this ayat that we say that one person, he is a disbeliever. He is a disbeliever. So he is worse than an animal, because a disbeliever does not show obedience to the Creator, and an animal shows obedience to a Creator. But the ulama mufassirun have taken another dimension, another understanding of this ayah. That there are many animals that if they cannot benefit, they do not harm. And if a person is out there to harm people, he is worse than an animal. We will speak about this in detail in weeks to come. Last week, I recited a ayat, and I started my discussion on that ayat. I had no time to even discuss the ayat. And I recited that verse once again. It is from Surat Naml, Surat number 27, verse number 18 and 19. And the ayat, or the few ayat of this surah, capture an amazing story that is a translation and a manifestation of Ad-Dinun Nasiha. But it has been represented by a creature, by an insect, not a human being. So as Sulaiman alayhi salatu wassalam was a prophet of the time, father was a prophet as well, Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam. Allah had granted him kingdom in spirituality, and had granted him the visible kingdom as well. So he was a king of the hearts, and he was a king of the bodies as well. Allah had granted him treasures from the spiritual world, and Allah had granted him treasures from the material world. He was controlling the kingdom, fulfilling the needs of the people, but at the same time he had the greatest, mightiest connection with the Creator. So one day he was traveling with his entourage. Now Imam Ibn Kathir, Hafiz Imaduddin, has made mention, Alama Alusi in Ruhul Ma'ani, Alama Baghwi in Mu'alimut Tanzil, and many other Mufassirun, Tafsir Mazhari, Ibn Qurtubi, they all have made mention that the entourage of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam consisted of 600,000 creatures. So you just visualize that, depict that Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is traveling, and one person is en route of this entourage. So there are small creatures and there are large creatures. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is flying on the flying mat or the carpet. And there's an entourage that is following him. I say this many a times nowadays, that we, many a times myself and a few brothers, many a times with my wife, I look upstairs and I find the 380 passing by, trying to land at the Brisbane airport. And the 380 is much, much larger than a 777. From far away, you know it's a 380. Because it's so large. A 777 is much smaller. And indeed, when both are parked, and you look at both planes, there's a visible difference between the 380 bus and the 777. But we have a 777, and we have different planes of different sizes to be compared with the 380. So it's not something that blows us away. We see a 380, all right, it's much bigger, but we have seen a 777, we have traveled on it before, we have seen many other planes. But in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, that was the only plane. There was no other plane. Nothing else used to fly through the air. And then what is flying through the air has the capacity to carry such a large entourage. That must just blow a person away. So as Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is traveling now with his entourage on land. And there is something that unfolds that is so dear to Allah Almighty that Allah allows that to be a part of his kalam. Something so dear to Allah Almighty that Allah places that entire incident in the glorious Quran. So it can be read, studied till the day of judgment. And not only studied and read and taken as a reference point, but Allah Almighty gives one of the surahs in the entire Quran the name of that creature that displays a action that is so dear to Allah Almighty. And it is known as Surah Naml, the ant. Hafiz Imaduddin Ibn Kathir, he makes mention in the story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that when Allah Almighty orders the Nabi of the time to construct the ark, and then ordered him to take a pair of each animal to preserve the animal kingdom, the first creature that was allowed on the ark was the ant. The first creature that was allowed on the ark was the ant. Not the tiger, not the lion, not the elephant. That is much larger in size. It was the ant. And once we study this story in the light of verse number 18, 19, you will understand why was the ant allowed to enter the ark, the vessel of salvation, before any other creature. And why Allah has named a surah, Surah Naml. And why Allah has spoken about the ant in the Quran. It is because of the action that was very dear to him. So Allah Almighty says, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. Till when the... حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَوْا عَلَى وَادِ النَّمْلِ. Till when the army of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam reached the dwelling of the ants. So they were traveling with this mighty, large, inflated entourage. And en route, there is the dwelling of the ants. Qalat namla, one ant. Namlatun, one ant, could see the destruction that was coming their way. They could see that this entourage will trample over our dwelling. Qalat namla, one ant, said, Ya ayyuhan naml, O my brother and sister ants. Now of course the Quran doesn't say brother and sister ants, but this is the address that we can understand from the theme of the ayah. That, O my brother and sister ants, udkhulu masakinakum, apne gharon mein dakhil ho jao, enter your dwellings. He had feeling for his brothers and sisters. He could see danger. He sensed that danger and he told his brothers and sisters, enter your dwelling straight away. Udkhulu masakinakum. La yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa junudu wa hum la yash'urun. Lest Sulaiman and his host, his army, trample over you, crush you, while they perceive not. Because a prophet does not come for destruction. He does not come to destroy. He comes to give life. But because it's such a large inflated entourage, and we are so small in size, the high probability is that he may not see us, or the entourage may not see us. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they perceive not, and they walk over us, crush us. So immediately he became active. The good nature of the ant became active, started to work rapidly. trying to salvage whatever they could salvage, trying to save his brothers and his sisters from the destruction that was coming their way. Allah Almighty allows Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam to hear the proclamation, the announcement, the i'lan of that one namla. Now that is amazing as well. That is miraculous. That is miraculous. Many a times there's a large insan behind us. He says something, he whispers something, we can't hear it. There are two people in front of us, they are talking, but I'm speaking to a third person and I can't understand what they are saying. But Allah Almighty allows Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam in that large entourage that must be creating much noise to hear what this ant is saying. This is the qudrat of Allah Almighty. And that's why Allah says, Alimun bidha tisudur. Allah is knowledgeable of that is in your hearts, that are in your breasts. Allah can hear the whispering. Allah can see the thought. You don't have to put words to your sentiments and words to your thoughts. Allah can see the thoughts, can even hear those thoughts. Sometimes a person sits down and he speaks to himself without even moving the articulator, without using the tongue. He speaks to himself. Allah can hear that as well. So Allah allows Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam to hear what this ant is saying. Fatabassama. So Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam smiles. Wahikam min qawliha. Amused by the speech of this ant. Amused. That what an amazing reaction to the danger that is witnessed by this ant. Smiles and is amused. Allahu Akbar. The Quran is amazing. The construction of the message is amazing. Immediately Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam turns his attention to himself. A few moments ago he is smiling and amused by the speech of the ant. But straight away Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam focuses upon the bounties that Allah has bestowed upon him. Because the entourage could not hear what the ant was saying. Allah allowed him alone to hear what the ant is saying. So immediately he fell into gratitude. And we learn from this. If we look around and they say you can't make sufficient shukr for the multiple, enormous, abundant bounties that we enjoy on a daily basis. But if you just look around, I'm just drawing your attention to one. Just look around, how many people are deprived from faith? And how many people are dying without faith? And how many people are coming into the world of disbelief? And there are so many around us, how much shukr can we make? We can't. That Allah allows us to be in the ummate ijabi. In the ummat of belief. وَقَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْهِ. That, O Allah, inspire me, bestow upon me the ability to make shukr for the bounties that you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents. Immediately, whenever we experience any kind of ni'mat, any level of ni'mat, immediately make the shukr. When a'mala salihan tarda wa ala waliday, and even on my parents, you made him a prophet as well. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam was a prophet. So if we see our parents as believers, and if we see our parents as practicing Muslims, and if we see our children believers, practicing, and Allah has blessed them in deen and dunya, prosperity, food on the table, good family life, make a lot of shukr. Thank Allah for this ni'mat. I cannot share with you the pain that many brothers and sisters are experiencing in our Muslim community. If you were to look at them from the outset, you will say that this is a perfect person. He enjoys deen and he enjoys dunya as well. But the closer you become to this one individual, you will find that there's so much pain in his life. It is hidden by the smile. It is hidden by that kahkaha. But that laughter. But behind it, there's so much pain. So Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, immediately his mind diverts from the end, focuses upon himself and starts to make the shukr. And then something amazing. And this is the climax of the ayat. The climax of the message. The highest podium where we should be. And inshallah we will make it there. وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ That, oh Allah, أَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ Allow me to enter by your mercy amongst the pious people. Was there anyone more pious than Hazrat Sulaiman? What great humbleness. And who are we speaking about? The ant. And the ant is humble. Can you see the connection of the Quran? That he says, allow me to enter by your mercy. My actions, I'm a prophet of the time. My actions are not sufficient. I cannot cross the line due to my actions. I need your mercy to come to my rescue and admit me amongst your ibadika salihin, your pious people. This proclamation, this dua, this supplication speaks about the wadu. It is humbleness, one dimension. It is humbleness. And the ant enters the ark because of its humbleness. And because it fulfills the characteristic that is very dear to Allah, and that is ad-deenun nasiha. So I'm coming back to the topic that I'm trying to discuss in the last few weeks. Be people that can benefit people. Don't be that person that harms people. Don't be that person. I've said this, and I don't like saying this, but it is a reality. Pulpits, members have been designated to rituals throughout the entire world. Rituals is one wing of the bird. It is one wing, and you can't fly with one wing. Akhlaqiyat is the second wing. You need both wings to flap, to move, and to fly. Why don't we give the same importance to mannerism, behavior, habits, practices as we give to salah? So many Muslim brothers are not speaking to Muslim brothers because they have difference in jurisprudence. So many muqtadis will not pray behind a imam because the imam is praying in a different manner. And these differences have come about many, many years before our inception. It is an understood difference amongst the noble predecessors. So we will discuss, we will have protracted discussions, lengthy discussions regarding jurisprudence, regarding certain issues to our rituals. But do we ever have protracted discussions, lengthy discussions when it comes to our behavior? Why do we take our behavior so lightly? Why do we take akhlaqiyat so lightly? Why do we take mannerism, habits so lightly? As we cannot fly with the one wing of ibadat, we cannot fly with the one wing of akhlaqiyat. We need to take care of our wing of ibadat. And we need to take care of our wing akhlaqiyat. They work together. Lazim malzoom. You could see that the Nabi of Allah, when he used to, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to establish communication with Allah through rituals. It was on the highest podium. Excellent. But on the other hand, when you saw that same person, looked at him, speaking to people, there was a smile on his face. A young child in Madinatul Munawwara, a young girl in Madinatul Munawwara, could hold the hand of Khatimul Anbiya and take the Khatimul Anbiya wherever she wanted. Young girl, Ya Rasulullah, come with me. And I say, and it's amazing, nowadays, the greater the scholar he becomes, access to that scholar becomes limited. It's ajeeb. Many, many scholars arrive, we can't even talk to them. I can't even talk to them. The Nabi of Allah, there's no one greater than him. This is akhlaqiyat. The youngest girl in Madinatul Munawwara, the oldest lady in Madinatul Munawwara, apparently they have no significance. Apparently. They can hold the hand of our Nabi of Allah, Allahu Akbar. Take him wherever they want. Always a smile on his face. Never used to withdraw his hand unless the person withdrew his hand. These are the two wings. We need to focus upon this. Become the embodiment of well-wishing. Become the practical embodiment of Ad-Deenun Nasiha. The more you help people, the more Allah will give you itminani qalb. The more Allah will give you happiness inside. Jitni loko ki jare kaatoge, aapki apni jare kaatengi. Wa amma ma yanfa'un nas, fayamkusu fil ardh. I would like to conclude on that. Wa amma ma yanfa'un nas, fayamkusu fil ardh. Jo logo ko nafa de, Allah usko thikana dete hai zameen ke andar. If you benefit people, Allah will give you establishment on the earth. The opposite message, if you do not benefit people, Allah will take you away from the earth. He will not give you establishment. Inshallah, we will try to be those that practice this hadith. Inshallah. Subhanakallahumma. Bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaykum.